Hi, I'm Donovan with another episode of Azure Friday. We're here with Dave to talk about Azure Batch Rendering. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thanks, Donovan. Good to be here.
So what do you do here at Microsoft?
I'm an engineering manager for a team in New Zealand.
Working
on the big compute team as part of Azure.
Awesome. So tell me all about Azure Batch Rendering, what it is and why do we need it?
Yeah, so Azure Batch Rendering, it's built on top of Azure Batch, Azure Batch Service, which is designed for doing massive scale parallel processing. And rendering is a great example of one of those workloads where we can easily take individual frames and send them to separate virtual machines to be rendered.
Okay, so rendered for what? Is this like for video games, movies? What are we talking about?
It could be any of those. And so the rendering process is about taking the 3D model and the scene and all the geometry and textures, and then calculating all the light and effects and everything, and producing that final image, whether it's a still image or an animation.
Oh, awesome. So tell me, how does it work? So how do I get going? Do I have to interact directly with the Azure Batch, or do I use the same tools I use today, like 3D Studio Max, or how does that work?
Yeah, there are a few different options that customers can use to interact or integrate with the service.
Okay.
So we've got the Azure CLI, and we've got our SDKs. But what I want to actually show today is a bit of a walkthrough of some of the interactive options that we have for running jobs and so forth.
Love to see it.
Cool. So firstly, I want to flick over here to, this is the Autodesk Maya application, and this is really popular in the field for creating these 3D models and these scenes. And then this here is an example of where we've got a plugin that sits right inside of the application, so it's a fully integrated experience.
Got it.
And I think it's a great example of where we can bring the power of Azure right to the end users and the environment that they're used to.
Yeah, I love the fact that I don't have to go learn something new. I can just keep using the tool that I love today.
Totally.
Awesome.
And this will do things like, detect all of the assets that my scene requires, and then every time I submit a job, it's going to check whether any of those need to be updated or, uploaded to the cloud.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of smarts in there to make it really easy to do stuff end-to-end.
Awesome.
But what I want to primarily focus on today is a new application that we released recently called Batch Labs. And so Batch Labs is a cross-platform desktop app for managing batch environments, and we've got a whole bunch of features in here to help with running rendering jobs.
Okay.
Cool. So first, a couple of concepts. In Batch, we have the notion of these pools of virtual machines. And so here we have a CPU pool. It's got a D5 instances, which are 16-core, pretty grunty machines. But what's cool is we also have a GPU pool here. And so these are NC6 instances. They've got NVIDIA K80 cards, which are general-purpose processing units. And I've got 100 of those. And if we go into create a new pool, I just want to call out a couple of options or features here. One thing is we have this notion of dedicated nodes as well as low priority nodes.
Okay.
And so this is something we announced a little bit earlier this year. I think it's still in public preview, where customers can get access to unutilized capacity in Azure within a region and get that for a massive discount.
I see.
Up to 80% discount
on
the sticker price. And so the downside is that if the demand increases in that region, then we might have to take that capacity back. But the cool thing with like rendering workloads and other batch workloads is, you might lose a bit of work, but the service will schedule that work to another virtual machine and get the task done.
Okay, so even before I start in the application of my choice, I would have had to come and first set up a pool to which I'm going to send my batch jobs to, and that's what you're showing us now.
That's what this interface is all about.
Got it.
And you could do this from the plugin inside Maya as well, so that's fully featured, but just showing the example.
Another option.
How we can do it here, yeah. That's right. And so if we do need to take some of that capacity back, those low priority nodes, then the batch service is constantly going to try and seek to that target again.
Okay.
So when the capacity becomes available again, I can get those VMs back
and
life is good. And so for workloads where you don't have to get them back in don't have an urgent timeline, then this is massive cost savings are potentially available here.
Gotcha.
80% discount. So the other thing we have here is this graphics and rendering option for the VM image type that we want to deploy. And so this is something we put out there as a convenience thing, where we've pre-provisioned an image, a VM image, with all of the latest versions of Maya, 3ds Max, Arnold, V-Ray, a bunch of the different rendering apps. And so it's a really easy way to get started, kick the tires. If you need a specific version or versions of these different apps, then you can set up your own custom image. Or we have a container solution, container-based solution soon, which will sort of offer the best of both worlds.
You know,
flexibility as well as sort of, not having to build
it. So I provide you my image that has all the rendering tools I want, and then you're going to be able to then scale that up and do batch jobs against my own image.
Yep.
Got it.
If we select one of these, this application licenses feature shows up, and so this is really the most exciting and defining feature of the whole thing, where we can actually do pay-per-use licensing of these commercial apps. And it's fully integrated into all the Azure billing system. So when I use this, I'll just see additional line items in my Azure bill for the software that I'm using.
That was my next question, and it's interesting you answered that. So I don't have to first purchase 3D Studio Max myself.
Exactly.
I can actually just buy it on a per need basis right here.
Exactly. And, and so this was always the big blocker with customers using
for
the cloud.
Sure.
It's like, okay, I can spin up another 100 or 1,000 VMs, but I've got to have additional licenses to run the software.
So. Sure.
So the economics sort of pretty, fell apart pretty quickly with that model. So we'll close out of here because we've already got our pools that we need. The next thing I want to show is this data management capability we have in here. And so I can upload or create these file groups and upload assets from my computer. And so this is an example here. We've got all of these assets for this loft scene. And so that's everything I'm going to need to render that particular scene.
Okay.
And then I'll create another file group here where I'm going to have the outputs uploaded to. And so
okay.
These just resolve to containers and blob storage.
Okay, got it.
So it's just a convenient way to upload the data. And then the last option here is this marketplace of applications that we've enabled. And so this has sort of grown over time. And one example here is 3ds Max, which you mentioned earlier. And so if I click in there, I can see a whole bunch of different job types or actions particular for that application, whether it's running with CPU or GPU or using the distributed rendering capability that it supports. And so if you're wondering where this list of application comes from, well, GitHub, of course. So we have a repository here called Batch Labs. Batch Labs data.
Sure.
And so this has got a folder here called NCJ, and that stands for No Code Jobs.
Okay.
That's our nickname for batch templates, which
gotcha.
Is what we're using to enable these applications.
Okay.
And so there's some guidance here on how to enable an application using these templates. And then we've got all of these ones that we saw inside the application. And so if we click into 3ds Max, we can see all of the job types that we saw listed in Batch Labs before. And if we click inside this one here that we're going to run, we've got these three templates. The pool template is a way to encapsulate all of the information about how to actually set up one of these pools that we just saw before.
Okay.
And so it really simplifies the whole creation experience.
And is this open to where I can contribute new job types and
exactly,
things like that as well?
Exactly. And so the idea is that we want to help sort of energize the community to easily enable these applications.
Awesome.
They can sort of copy paste and modify it to what they need. And it's not just for rendering, this is other verticals like financial services and engineering and anything.
I see.
Okay. So it's very sort of open and flexible. Some of the benefits are because we know this is a GPU job that we're talking about here, we can restrict it to a particular set of VM types or sizes because we know these are the particular ones that work well for GPU rendering.
Yep.
And then there are other things like installing the NVIDIA drivers and all that sort of jazz. And so if we go back to Batch Labs and click on this, there it is, we can create a pool here or use an existing pool. So just to contrast with the experience we saw before with all of those options about how to create a pool, here we've got like three inputs. What's your pool name? How many nodes do you want? And we've only got a list of the NC.
Based on the JSON we just saw from
exactly. GitHub. So it really simplifies the experience because we know a bit more about what we're trying to do. If we continue with one of the existing pools we have, a GPU pool, we can see it's got a whole bunch of inputs to submit this job. And again, this is driven by the JSON template, the job template. And so it defines the parameters that we need for the job, the scene file that we need, the file group, and so forth. Start frame, end frame, resolution, all these things.
Everything you can imagine, you're going to need to configure to make sure you get what you need on the outside.
Exactly. And, there's a bit more detail about how we generate, the tasks using these task factories, and that just sort of sweeps over the start frame to the end frame.
Okay.
Generates a task for each one.
Perfect.
And then, this is the command line that we're going to execute. So,
It's almost like a build job.
Yeah, very, very similar, defining what's actually going to happen on the nodes.
Awesome.
Cool. And so we'll step through this. We can select our assets file group, select the scene file that we want to render, which is this jobby here. Save button's lower than it should be. Get the guys onto that. render from frame 1 to frame 100. And then the resolution like we saw, and then we want the outputs to go into the outputs file group. So, you know, we could put the outputs back into the same
if you wanted to, but this is going to make it easier for me to identify what's been done. Exactly. So this is going to go off and run. I'm going to be able to monitor this. When it's done, I get to download my final asset, which might be, like you said, an animation or a still image of the 3D rendered product.
Yeah, most customers, they just want to get the individual frames out, and then they might do some post-processing on those frames before they combine them into an animation
or
a video file. But actually, if you look back at the marketplace, there's an FFmpeg job here, so you could actually stitch these things together very easily. And
using Batch as well.
Create an animation from your images, and because the data's already in blob storage, you know, it's all sort of flows together quite nicely.
Very cool.
And obviously, you can do this all programmatically through the SDKs as well.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Cool, and so with our job submitted, we can see we've got 100 tasks, and there's little counts or statuses up the top here, so they're all running because I've got 100 GPU nodes.
Sure.
Pretty cool.
All in parallel. Awesome.
Pretty hard to go and buy them and put them under your desk at home.
So. Sure, the true power of the cloud is that I don't have to do that
exactly.
anymore. Infinite scale for me.
Exactly.
Here.
You got it. And so I can click into each of these tasks and see what's going on, but I'll click to one of the jobs that's completed before.
Okay.
And click into one of the tasks, and we can see the files that are actually on the virtual machine where that task ran.
Okay.
And so, for example, I can see the final image, the rendered image that was produced.
Wow.
And I can see like the standard out and standard error. So like if the image didn't come out as I expected, maybe a texture is missing or something, I can go and look in the standard error or standard out, and you know, should be able to see the
troubleshoot
line here
saying
can't
find
this particular file or something like that.
Absolutely.
So it makes it pretty easy to see what's happening.
Perfect.
Cool. And then if we switch back to our pool here, we should be able to see that. Yeah, so there's got this nice little heat map, and we can see all of the nodes are busy, you know, processing that job we just submitted. The hatched or cross-hatch lines indicate the low priority nodes. So we've got a combination of low priority
and
dedicated here, which is pretty cool.
Awesome.
And then the outputs, we find them in our output folder. So the job name, and then you know,
all the images
of the outputs. Yeah.
Cool. Fantastic.
So that is pretty much how the service works. And then, as I mentioned, you know, whether you want to use the SDK to integrate this with your own queuing system or your own, you know, on-premises pipeline, then you know that's what a lot of customers do. But yeah, hopefully with all the options we've got, then
and it's all available today.
Yep.
And you can use it.
That's right. And so it's available today. V-Ray is one of the renderers is still in limited preview.
Okay.
So if you want to use that, test it out, then get in contact with us and we can whitelist your batch count.
Okay.
But then, yeah, otherwise we've got Maya, 3ds Max, and Arnold in GA.
Okay.
General availability. And we're adding other renderers as we go along.
One last question. So if I'm using one of those tools, how do I get that plugin into the tool? Is that from a free marketplace? How do I get, for example, the 3D Studio Max? How did I integrate the Azure plugin into that?
Yeah, so there's on GitHub, there's, of course, everything's on GitHub.
Yep.
So Azure Batch Maya, there's the plugin there, and there's instructions there for how to
install it
and get it going into Maya. There's also a really good walkthrough article we've got here, which sort of talks about all of the different options for getting the applications or the software into the system, as well as for submitting the jobs as well. So hopefully there's enough guidance here for people to figure things out, and we're going to post those links at the bottom of the show as well, hopefully.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So we're learning all about Azure Batch Rendering here on Azure Friday.